Hello, and welcome to our program, Comics, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Toni Morell, and during the next half hour, I will be reading Dick Tracy Comics here on Owl Radio. Mary X. The police sergeant is on the phone in police headquarters, talking to Dick Tracy. Yeah, Tracy. What? You've got an amnesia victim on your hands? Tracy, at a nightclub talking on the phone, says, yes. As I left young Croywin's home, she was lying in the back seat of my car. Come over to the Cafe Roomba now, please. And the young woman sitting at the table, holding her head, mumbling, my name? My name? Dick Tracy, looking at her, says, you look hungry. I'd better buy you a big dinner. But first, try to remember who you are and how you happened into my car. Still holding her head with her hand, the young woman says, my name? My name? And trying not to cry, she continues, but I tell you, I can't remember who I am or how I got into your car. I can't remember anything. Just then, the chief of police walks into the nightclub. Following the maitre d', the chief says, just where is this amnesia victim Tracy found? And the maitre d' says, his table's over here, sir. Dick Tracy talking to the police chief, who's now standing at Dick Tracy's table, looking at the young woman. Dick Tracy says, yes, I found her in my car. This is Chief Brandon, Miss whoever you are. Chief Brandon looking at her. Memory gone, eh? And then staring at her right in the face, almost nose to nose, he says to her, what are you? Just a little gold digger working up some publicity stunt? The poor woman, continuing to hold her head in her hand, says, please believe me. I can't remember anything. I wish I knew who I am. I feel terrible. Dick Tracy, leaning over to the police chief, says, here comes Rudy Seaton, the orchestra leader. He's an old friend of mine, chief. And standing now at the table, Dick Tracy introduces Rudy Seaton, this is Chief Brandon. Chief Brandon, taking Mr. Seaton's hand, says, howdy do, Seaton. And Rudy Seaton, still holding his orchestra baton in his hand, leans over to the young woman and says, and who is the charming lady, may I ask? Dick Tracy, I wish I could introduce you, but I don't know her name. Rudy Seaton, bending down closer to the young woman, says, looks at her closely as Dick Tracy says, she's an amnesia victim. I found her in my car. The young woman, again trying not to cry, looks at Mr. Seaton and says, I'm glad to know you, Mr. Seaton, but I just don't know who I am. I'm awfully sorry. This is terribly embarrassing. Rudy, now sitting at the table, leaning on it with his elbows, looks at her very intently and says, say, you have a beautiful voice. Sounds like a singing voice. Have you ever done any singing? And then standing up, he says to Dick Tracy, I must go back with the boys. I do a solo in this number. And as he walks away, the young woman stands up and follows him. Dick Tracy, looking at her, says, "Hey, where are you going, young lady?" And now the young woman, approaching the orchestra, leans over to the trombone player and says, "May I have the lyrics for this number?" And then starting to sing, "Love, you've made me live again." Rudy Seaton, standing there with his clarinet in hand, in disbelief says, "What a voice she has! She's a natural! A natural!" And when she finishes singing, the crowd goes crazy. "Bravo! Bravo!" they yell. "More! More! Swing it, sis!" as the clapping and the cheering continue. Rudy Seaton, putting his hand on her shoulder, says, "Wow! What a voice! You wowed 'em!" And then 10 minutes later in the dressing room, Rudy Seaton, pointing to Dick Tracy, says, "She's a sensation! A sensation! I'll put her in my band." And Dick Tracy excitedly says to his friend, "Good! You can call her, say, Mary X." And then looking at the young lady who is now asleep on the chaise lounge in the dressing room, Rudy says, "Mary X, that's it. Why, you'll be, well, look, Tracy, she's asleep." And Dick Tracy, "Yes, the kid's been through some kind of an ordeal, but where and when?" And then looking at the soles of her shoes, he says, "Say, Rudy, slip off her shoes and let me have them. There's something clinging to the soles." As the young woman wakes up, Rudy is holding a beautiful ball gown dress on a hanger to her and says, "Here, Mary X, is an entire new outfit for you to wear." Mary, looking at her stocking feet, says, "But my shoes, where are they?" Rudy, holding a shoebox in his hand, says, "Oh, I have a brand new pair for you. Look." Mary X, "Oh, they're beautiful." Meanwhile, Mary X's shoes are in Tracy's hands at headquarters. Peering at the soles of the shoes with his magnifying glass, the police chief watches him and says, "Do you think her shoes will tell you who she is?" Tracy, intently looking at the soles of her shoes through his magnifying glass, says, "Maybe." The police chief, watching Dick Tracy take his pocket knife out and starting to pick at the soles of her shoes, says to him, "What are you picking out of there?" Tracy, intently focused on what he's doing, says, "Tiny pieces of metal." Meanwhile, back at the nightclub, as the amnesia girl Mary X swings out on a refrain to the delight of the cafe audience, a shot pierces the air, striking the mic in front of the girl. Bang! It goes. And Mary X, backing away from the microphone, Oh! Dick Tracy, rushing from his seat, says, "That was a deliberate shot. Someone tried to kill Mary X." And running after the culprit, Dick Tracy says, "Hey, grab him back there. Grab him." The waiter's looking around in disbelief, go, "Who? Where is he?" And in the meantime, an overly dressed man wearing a hat and sunglasses, smoking a cigar, as he steps into his car, says, "Home, Jerry." The chauffeur answers, "Yes, sir." Meanwhile, back in the nightclub, Rudy Seaton says to Dick Tracy, "Whoever fired that shot stood back here." Dick Tracy, "Let's look out front." And speaking to the valet, Dick Tracy says, "Did anyone leave here within the last minute, Bob?" Bob, the valet, says, Yes, sir, Mr. Tracy. I saw Mr. Mason." Dick Tracy, looking at Bob, the valet, intently says, "Mr. Mason? Who's he?" Bob, the valet, says, "He's a big shot gentleman that comes here. Everybody knows Mr. Mason." "Yes, sir." And once again, our overly dressed man, now known as Mr. Mason, says, "Pick me up at the office in 2 hours, and get this, bring all the late editions of the newspapers with you, understand?" And as his chauffeur drives away, leaving Mr. Mason outside of his office, says, "Yes, sir." Back with Dick Tracy, who's speaking to Bob the valet, Bob is saying to him, "Yes, sir, I remember Mr. Mason's license number. It's one of those little bitty ones. 02S, I believe is what it said." Dick Tracy, writing it down on his detective notepad, says, "Thanks, Bob." And now, in his car, 10 minutes later, his colleague says to him, "Sure, I looked up the address. It's a big manufacturing plant." Dick Tracy, driving, says, "Manufacturing plant?" And as they arrive at the manufacturing plant, there's Mr. Mason in his office. He sees the police car as he looks out the window. Down at the police car, Dick Tracy and his colleague are looking intently at the building. His colleague says, "What do you mean this might fit into the picture?" Dick Tracy, looking intently at the building, says, "Oh, nothing. Only those little pieces of metal I found in the soles of Mary X's shoes came from a machine shop." Meanwhile, back at the nightclub, Rudy Seaton is introducing Mary X once again. And now, once again, to our microphone comes lovely Mary X, the amnesia girl. If you recognize her voice, call this station. Mary wants to find her family. And at that, Mary starts to sing, "To you, sweetheart, And then she runs away from the microphone, bursting into tears. "No, no, I can't go on. Since that shot was fired, I'm afraid. And back at police headquarters, the police chief says to Mason, "But Tracy, this man Mason's a big manufacturer. I know him. You're on the wrong track, boy." And Mr. Mason, still puffing away on his cigar, is in his office, listening to the radio. The radio announcer says, "We regret that Mary X is unable to sing tonight due to excitement and shock, but she'll be back with us later." And click! Mason turns off the radio, just as occurs at his door. He opens his door, and there's the police chief with Dick Tracy standing there. The police chief says to him, "Mason?" And Mr. Mason says, "Chief Brandon, come in, Chief. Glad to see you, glad to see you." And now in his office, Dick Tracy says to Mason, "Well, you're a Club Rumba fan, eh? I see your dials are set there." Mason, "Well, maybe so. Accidentally, though. I hardly ever listen to the radio." And looking at the police chief, Mason says, "What can I do for you, Chief?" And the police chief says to his friend, "Well, you see, there was a shooting at Club Rumba, and the license number on the fleeing gunman's car, according to the doorman, was yours." Mason, The police chief, seeing his friend laugh, joins him and says, Mason, taking out a handkerchief to wipe his face, says, "That's rich. Well, I've been an old stick in the mud so many years, maybe a little shooting scrape pepped me up. Maybe it would." Chief says to Tracy, "I told Tracy you'd get a big laugh out of this." Dick Tracy, looking straight at Mason, says, "By the way, Mr. Mason, you have quite a place here. Lathes, tooling machines, and things like that, I suppose." Lighting his cigar, Mason says, "Oh, yes. We have a big shop just beyond that door." Back at police headquarters, the detective looks at the police chief, who has one foot on top of the desk, trying to look at the soles of his shoes. The detective says, "What is it, Chief?" The police chief, looking at the soles of his shoes very intently, says, "Well, Tracy just drew my attention to the fact my shoe soles, have little particles of metal stuck in them exactly like Mary X's shoes had when he found her." And now, taking his shoe off, he holds it in his hand, examining it. And now they hear Tracy. "Yeah? Where have you been?" The police chief, looking at the bottom of his shoe, scratching his head, says to the detective, "Nowhere in particular, except over to the factory of Mason and Freeze with you, Tracy." And holding his shoe in his hand, he says, "Mason and Freeze. Why, that's where he said he's taking Mary X now." Mary X, putting her coat on as Dick Tracy holds it, Mary X says, "Mason and Freeze? Mason and Freeze? It doesn't sound familiar, Mr. Tracy." Dick Tracy, "Well, you're going there just the same. You're going to walk through the machine shop among the drills and lathes. Something's bound to bring back your memory." And standing in front of the building, looking at it, Tracy says to her, "Well, there's the factory. Let's go." Mary X, "Oh, I'm so tired. And look, here's a little restaurant. Shall we get a bite to eat first?" And as they walk inside, Dick Tracy says, "Well, this isn't much of a place, but I guess we can get Java and rolls here." They sit at the counter. One of the patrons walks over to Mary X and says, "Well, I'll be. "Hey, girlie, what are you doing here?" And looking straight into Mary X's eyes, he says, "Remember the truck driver that gave you the lift into town that night? Remember?" Dick Tracy, looking intently at the patron, says, "Just who are you, bud?" And the patron, pointing his thumb to his chest, says, "I'm Jepson, a truck driver for Acme Lines. I was coming into town around midnight one night when I saw her standing by the highway. I invited her to have a ride. She seemed kind of dazed. When we reached the downtown section, she got out." Dick Tracy, looking intently at the patron, says, "Did she talk? Did she say anything about herself?" The patron, scratching his head, says, "Not a word. She just kept rubbing her head." Dick Tracy, pointing to the patron, says, "Listen, can you take us to the spot on the highway where you picked her up?" To which the patron responds, "Absolutely. I can take you right to the very spot." And as the three of them get into the police car and drive off, as they approach the spot, the patron says, "Yep, this is the spot, boss, where I picked her up, right here." Dick Tracy pulls over, opens the door, helps Mary X out of the back, and says, "Let's get out. Does this location bring back any memories, Mary X? Does it mean anything?" Mary X, standing, staring, looking around. Slowly, the girl's brow furrows. She thrusts one arm slightly in front of her, and with one hand on her brow, steps from the pavement. Dick Tracy says to the patron, "Good heavens! She acts like she's in a trance. Mary! Hey, Mary!" The patron, looking at the girl, says, "Look where she's going! Into that marsh!" Mary, continuing to walk through the water, as Dick Tracy says, "Hey, Mary! Look where you're going! Come back here!" Mary, not saying a word, continues to walk. Tracy, "Wait!" Mary stops. In the water, knee high, she bends over, saying, "Yes, here. This is the spot. Here." And as she reaches into the water, Dick Tracy says, "What are you doing, girl?" And Mary, pulling her hand up from the water, is holding on to the arm of a man and says, "Yes, here it is. See?" And letting go to grab her head, Dick Tracy quickly grabs the man's arm and says, "Ye gods, an arm, a man's body." Can't see much. Can't tell much about it. And then looking straight at Mary, Dick Tracy says, "Mary, who is this? Who did it?" And Mary, holding her head, staring at the man's arm, says, "I only remember someone was put there. I don't remember. I can't seem to remember." And Dick Tracy, grabbing her shoulders, shaking her, says, "Mary, think hard. Think hard. You've got to regain your memory now." And Mary, crying out, says, "It's no use. It's no use. It's no use. And now, back at the police station, the police chief, looking in bewilderment at Tracy, says, "You say Mary X led you to the body, but that's all she remembers?" And Dick Tracy, "Right, we don't know who he is, but we're sure of one thing. He met his death in the machine shop of Mason and Freeze." And Dick Tracy, holding a pair of shoes, why, even the soles of his shoes and the knees of his trousers have those same little pieces of metal in them that we found in your shoes after you walked through that plant, Chief. By the way, Chief, in this firm of Mason and Freeze, who is Freeze? Where is he? And the police chief, scratching his head, says, "Gosh, Tracy, the only member of that firm I know is Mason. I never met Freeze." Tracy, putting his coat back on, says, "I think I'll call on Mr. Mason once more." And now, standing in the doorway of Mr. Mason's office, Mr. Mason says, "Oh, hello, Mr. Tracy. Come right in." Dick Tracy responds, "Thank you, Mr. Mason. I was wondering if you'd do me a favor. We have a dead man over at headquarters we can't identify, and I'd like you to take a look at him." Mr. Mason, nervously chomping on his cigar, says, "A dead man, eh? What makes you think I might know him?" Tracy, pushing his hat back on his head, scratches his hair and says, "Oh, just a hunch. Just a hunch. You know how us fellows are with our little spyglasses and funny clues and things." Mason, putting his coat and his hat on, says, "Aha, you're a card, Tracy. Sure, I'll come over." And now back at police headquarters, looking at the body, Tracy says to Mason, "Do you know him?" Mason, looking at the body, says, "Yes. Yes, it's Freeze, my business partner." "Tracy, do you have any idea how he could have met his death?" Mason, "Not at all. Why, he's supposed to be on a business trip in the East. I thought that's where he was." And at that moment, Dick Tracy opens a door, and through it walks Mary X. Dick Tracy says, "Do you know this girl, Mr. Mason?" Mr. Mason looks at her and says, No, I don't believe I've ever seen her before. Tracy, "Have you ever seen him, Mary?" Mary, looking at Mason very intently, trying to remember, says, I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember." You have been listening to Comics on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owl.com.